This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com. On Sports Radio 740.
Oh, yeah, here we are back at it in our Dixie Electric Plumbing and Air Studios. Barry out today, not feeling well. Hopefully he'll be back Monday with us. But right now, our buddy Chuck Oliver. You hear him every weekday evening here on Sports Radio 740. I really enjoy having him as part of our lineup, and he joins me here again this morning. Chuck, hello, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing good. You flying solo today?
Yeah, Barry, a little under the weather the last couple of days. I think that travel has caught up with him, but I think he's feeling better, so he'll be back with us on Monday. We are certainly hoping for that. Hey, Chuck, what's going on in Tuscaloosa? Nick Saban is not yet formally announced who his offensive coordinator is going to be. A lot of people believe it will be Brian DeBall. When he does make that announcement, what's your feel? What's your read on it?
It could be him, and of course that comes with a Bill Belichick stamp of approval, but also personal experience. I'm sure all your listeners know the relationship going back to Michigan State when he was a grad assistant there in East Lansing with Nick Saban. Whoever it was going to be, it would be very surprising if it wasn't someone that either Saban had worked with closely or someone on Saban's staff had already coached with, or in the case of George Godsey, he and Brent Key played together at Georgia Tech. So that was going to be the likely route anyway. And I think that, if you're expecting Alabama to come out and go even further down the aggressive, dynamic, spread option, zone read, if you're expecting to go further down that road, that's not necessarily what I'm expecting. Now, Nick Saban is not going to abandon those principles because it has produced just some overwhelming offensive results for the team the past few years. But if that's how he wanted to go, then there is a simple choice here. It would be Mike Locksley. I would invite any of your listeners, go on YouTube and look up like that 2007 Illinois team that Ron Zook took out to the Rose Bowl.
Yep.
That was Juice Williams, Aurelius Ben, some of those players. Mike Locksley was the OC there, and it really is interesting to watch that team play because it was sort of the infancy of what you see all over college football now. The quack attack at Oregon, with so many, what Gus Malzahn runs. So many of those offenses were kind of born out of the early days of what Rich Rodriguez was doing at West Virginia, but then also Locksley with a lot more passing included at Illinois. Well, that's not what Nick Saban wants to do, I don't believe. If he did, then the easy fix is say, Mike, you really are offensive coordinator now. And it shows everybody, since Locksley has not been named offensive coordinator, that it was sort of just the title he was given anyway when he and Sarkisian were co-OCs, and that Nick Saban has much more of a comfort level with just trying to blast open holes on the offensive line all afternoon and average 6 yards carry.
A lot of people are wondering, Chuck, is Nick Saban wanting to go back to the more run-orientated, rough-it-out kind of offense?
Yeah, and honestly, when you talk about there are 5, 6, 7, 10 different ways to run that, that zone read spread option, let's use everything side to side. And Lane Kiffin was a master at that. When it was Blake Sim, it was a lot of the RPOs. It was a lot of the tunnels and bubbles and everything else. When it was Jake Coker, 1 year later, it was a radically different approach. Lane Kiffin looked at Jacob Coker and said, all right, well, let's peel the top off a secondary here. If we're going to throw the ball, let's really be aggressive downfield. I don't think Lane gets nearly enough credit for the job he did this past season with a quarterback who, I'll let you pick all the adjectives, exciting, electric, all those words we use for a running quarterback. The truth is Jalen Hurts couldn't throw the ball more than about 15 yards downfield. Mm-hmm. And when he did, it was a total dice roll what was going to happen. So Lane Kiffin, I think, did a masterful job of kind of pushing Jalen Hurts when you had to throw the ball, pushing him into the sort of a comfort zone, the passes where it was most likely going to work with his skill set, which was quick throws underneath, things like that. Lane Kiffin did not want to throw the ball deep with Jalen Hurts, and I think that whoever comes in as the OC is going to realize the same thing, that while Jalen Hurts does 99 things really well, standing in the pocket, delivering the ball downfield, it's not just that he doesn't do it well, he's deficient at it.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about that, Chuck. You got to think this offseason they've got to really improve that. And we've talked about Hurts really kind of the last four games. I mean, he struggled in that area, and they've got to they got to improve it, because you know every team they play this fall is going to dare him to throw it deep.
Yeah, now, can I give, if you're an Alabama fan and you're listening, can I give you some great news?
Sure.
I think you're back to when, you remember the class when they signed Alvin Kamara and Derrick Henry and Tenpenny and Tyron Jones? They signed four of the top 23 running backs in America.
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They didn't quite reach, you know, that depth this year. It's mostly Najee Harris. But when you look at B.J. Emmons and Jacobs and Damian Harris and Scarborough coming back, they have such depth on at running back right now, and everybody is a little bit different back there as well. And everybody I talked to in Tuscaloosa, and I know you got folk over there as well, last August everybody I talked to wouldn't get two sentences into talking about the running backs before they would go, and hey, B.J. Emmons is the guy you really got to watch. And then he hurt his foot and had surgery, and I think he had another surgery on it as well. But they are so deep and diverse with what they do at tailback. It wouldn't surprise me if they go back to more of like a, you know, 60-65% run-based offense. And then when you do want to take a shot with Ridley deep or you know, whomever, Diggs or, you know, whoever you want to go deep with, you know, you absolutely can do that. But I'm excited to see Alabama kind of at least take maybe put a pause on advancing down that offensive road.
What about Auburn? We've talked about Jared Stidham and your comments about what you expect out of him. But one thing that I do see in this Auburn team for 2017, similar to 2010 in the fact that there are a lot of returning players coming back, experienced players coming back, some guys with some seniority. I think their home schedule is very conducive to winning as well. And as I mentioned and you said earlier, they got a quarterback as well. Things seem to be in position for Auburn to really have a good year.
They do, and they have the SEC's leading rusher as far as, you know, yards per game in Cameron Petway. They have another great option in Kerryon Johnson, as well as if Cam Martin develops or whatever. So they have those options, and I'm not kidding you. I think they have five or maybe six receivers, and I mean guys who can go downfield, just smoking down the sidelines and really get deep on some teams. And now they have a quarterback who can deliver the football. You know, Darius Slayton is a ridiculously fast and quick, and those are different things, receiver on the outside. Kyle Davis is such a huge target and can elevate long arms. And we didn't see anything from Nate Craig Myers last year. And so, you know, they have probably five or maybe six downfield targets. And I think that this is going to be the best passing offense we have seen, you know, honestly, since Cam Newton. But even with Cam Newton, you know, if you had a quarterback that led the SEC in rushing that year, and so everything that Cam Newton did throwing the football was normally off of the running game, I don't think that's what it's going to be this year. I think Auburn is going to come out, especially with a new offensive coordinator and his approach, and they're really going to back people off the line of scrimmage. And if you don't, then that's fine. They'll throw for 400 yards on a Saturday. I mean, this is no joke as far as Auburn turning into you know, with Gus Malzahn, you still want to run the football, but there's no joke about Auburn turning into a team that can really threaten you passing the ball downfield. You know, Nick Marshall would rear back and throw the ball 55 yards, but you know, it was more of just kind of like a show and tell. That's not going to be what it is with Jared Stidham. I mean, he is a really good pocket passer.
Man, we cannot wait. It is going to be here before we know it. Always love to get your insight. Spring practice about to begin at Auburn in Tuscaloosa a little bit later and across around the league as well. And we look forward to touching base with you, Chuck, and getting a feel for spring football as it fast approaches.
Anytime, brother.
Hey, thank you, man. We greatly appreciate your time today. On our Dreamland Barbecue guest hotline, that's Chuck Oliver.